Today from Bible teacher Chuck Swindoll.
My Lord knows every detail of my circumstances. He says, I know about the pressures that are crushing. I know about the destitution that has come as a result. I know about the slander that is being said against you. I hear it all. I see it all. I feel it all. He is not a Lord who cannot be touched with the feelings of our weaknesses.
Anyone who chooses to follow Jesus will occasionally experience persecution. Sometimes it's an overt attack against your character. Other times it's a more subtle gesture that makes you feel less than. Whatever the case, God never overlooks those who suffer. And today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll brings biblical comfort to those who experience spiritual persecution of any kind. His counsel comes from our study in the first century church at Smyrna, whose story is told in Revelation chapter 2. He titled today's message, The Suffering Church Under Attack.
Get your pen and mark three words: tribulation, poverty, blasphemy. All in verse 9. These describe what the Christians were enduring at the time. I know, says Jesus, I know your tribulation, crushing pressure. I know the destitute condition in which you live and the economy of your times, but you are rich. This, of course, is what the Christian lives on. This is the kind of unseen food that gives us nourishment and energy to go on. We may not be rich in the world's estimation, but deep down inside, there is an enriching life that accompanies the walk with Christ. There are rewards no one can understand who's outside the family. And then there are the blasphemies. The word means railing here, slander. This is a terrible moment for these believers. They had believed in the Savior with all their hearts. They had trusted Him and wanted to rear their family to do the same, and now this was the thanks they get. And where did it come from? Look closely. The source: by those who say they are Jews and are not. What a strange statement. They say they are Jews, but they are not. These are people who may be Jews by birth, but not by second birth. These are people who knew of the prophet Jesus, but did not receive Him, would not even consider Him a prophet. But had He returned at that day, they would have crucified Him again. There's no sign in their synagogue that says, we worship Satan. It's not like that. They were carrying out the works. Blinded spiritually, they were carrying out works that they felt were appropriate for the moment to deal with these followers of the way who won't worship our Caesar, or won't be a part of our community, won't get in line. And He calls it what it is. Now, what happens when you're treated like that? Just for a moment, try to imagine. You're in a community that treats you like that because you're a follower of Jesus. What's your normal response? Well, it's the same response as when a terrorist act occurs. Fear. Fear. And if you're not careful, before long, you no longer have a group over to enjoy an evening together. You no longer entertain. You no longer take walks. You close your door and you buy another lock and you draw your drapes and you stay out of the flow of life. Who wants this kind of treatment? And that all comes from fear. Don't stop living as you have been living. Live your life. What are they saying? They're saying the same thing as begins verse 10. Do not fear. It's the most frequently stated command in the Bible. Did you know that? Fear not. It appears more than any other command. And here Jesus says it. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. You see, the scary thing about all of this is when something happens, then you fear worst is going to happen. Your child goes through this and you fear tomorrow he will go through something worse than he went through yesterday or today. And so his hope is that they will read. Jesus writes these people out of compassion and understanding, and he says, do not fear what you're about to suffer. And then he tells them what they're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested. First, don't fear. I know the plan. I'm with you through all of it. He says the same one who motivates those who have brought blasphemy against you or railing against you, this one is about to cast some of you into prison. Some commentators tell us that it's not literally a prison, but it may be a prison-like existence. And he says you will have tribulation for 10 days. But now look at his words of encouragement. He says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Remember that we read something about that in James 1, verse 12. You'll receive the crown of life. These are people who are promised that if they're faithful to the end, loving the Lord Jesus, not recanting, not pulling back, not holding back, that God will give them, the Lord Jesus will give them the crown of life. And what an encouragement. It's his way of saying, finish strong. Stay at it to the very end, painful though it may be. Tertullian was a church father who lived some days after this. His official name was Quintus Septimus Florens Tertullianus. Tertullian, that's a good way to refer to him. He was the one who, in the midst of great persecution, said, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." By the way, do you know that the persecution of the 20th century was greater than the sum of persecution from the first through the 19th. This is not something ancient. This is something modern. Let me say it again. The persecution of centuries 1 through 19 were not as great as the persecution the church endured, God's people endured in the 20th. The world is not getting better and better. We're not moving toward a glamorous ending where it will all be angel food cake and relaxed times in the backyard where we can enjoy freedoms. It's getting harder, harder, worse, and worse. The blood of the martyrs still seeds the church. Who knows if you and I will live a full life? Who knows what could happen on our own, in our own land? I have to tell you, before we get to the end of Revelation, I don't find much reference to America in this book. I mean, we live as though we have forever. This is like a wake-up call. He offers promises to the reader. He says, be faithful to death, I'll give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And look at this one. He who overcomes stays true, stands tall, finishes strong, will not be hurt by the second death. That's the final death. That's the lake of fire death. It won't touch you. You're secure. You're saved from that. You afraid? You going to bed afraid? I understand. I got 10 grandchildren. School for them is harder for them than it was for me or for Cynthia or for our kids, their parents. I sometimes get a little afraid about that. Earl Palmer writes in his book on Revelation, this letter is a strong rebuke to the cultisms of fear that have thrived in unusual numbers in this century. The major temptation of the cultisms of fear is their claim that because of the immensity of the dangers of this age, demonic and otherwise, the gospel of Jesus Christ of itself is no match for such dangers. The letter to the church at Smyrna is an antidote to the church at Smyrna, is an antidote to such cultism. The resources we have in Jesus Christ are fully adequate. They are the only resources we need. Is that a great line? There are all kinds of fears. time doesn't allow me to list most of them. You may have a fear of close places. I was on a plane with a person not long ago who has a fear of flying and just was flashing through his beads. I mean, he just... Really, I mean, they were like breaking out in a sweat. One lady asked me to hold her hand, and I held her hand as if that was going to help, you know? We're both going down, Toots. If this thing goes down, I mean, I held her hand. My mother had a fear of heights. I remember we went to the state capitol in Austin, and if you've ever been there, they've got these floors that all open up, and you look out into the, see the big Lone Star at the bottom, and we went up about the, I was a teenager back then when we first went there, and we got up about the eighth floor, and she looked over, she said, "Oh, that makes me want to jump." And I go, probably wanted to jump because she had me as a child. And there are fears of heights, but there are few fears that paralyze us like a fear of pain or a fear of encroachment into our space or someone breaking in. And the invasive fears that come along with terrorism and persecution. And our Lord says to us here, stop it. Stop that. Your trust in me will hold you firm when you come to such a time. Not if, but when. Let me apply all of this in the first person. May I do that? Three thoughts come to mind. First, my Lord knows every detail of my circumstances. Put it down just like that. My Lord knows every detail of my circumstances. He says, I know about the pressures that are crushing. I know about the destitution that has come as a result. I know about the slander that is being said against you. I hear it all. I see it all. I feel it all. He is not a Lord who cannot be touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. Hebrews chapter 4 concludes, verse 14 and 15. He's touched over this. He knows all about our circumstances. Second, if my situation remains the same, I have no reason to fear or to run. If it isn't relieved and my situation remains the same, I have no reason to fear or to run. He will be with me. He will not leave me. Remember what you sang? When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame will not hurt you. I only design your dross, that's the slag, your dross to consume, your gold to refine. As the dross leaves, the gold is inserted. No reason to fear or to run. Finally, if things get worse for me, he will see me through regardless. If things get worse for me, he will see me through regardless. I began with a story about Nero. I close with a true story about Polycarp. Polycarp was a bishop in Smyrna, lived from about 70 to about AD 155. Polycarp, godly man, beloved pastor or bishop of this church. The mob crowd grew, and finally they were screaming, "Away with the atheists! Let Polycarp be searched for!" He's by now in a hidden place, and they find him, and he remains in prayer. He offers them food and drink when they arrive, his captors, and they take those things and allow him another hour or so in prayer. And one of the men say to him on the carriage as they're on their way back, "What harm can it do to sacrifice to the emperor? What harm in saying Caesar is Lord?" Polycarp remained adamant, "Only Jesus is Lord." Upon arrival, the old bishop was shoved out of the carriage and pushed roughly before the proconsul, who said to him, "Respect your years. Swear by the genius of Caesar." The old man stood silent. "Swear, and I will release you. Revile Christ." To which Polycarp replied with words that have lived on, "For 86 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my king who has saved me?" The proconsul persisted, "Swear by the genius of Caesar, I have wild beasts. If you will not change your mind, I will throw you to them. He calmly said, call them. Call them. Angrily, the official shouted, since you make light of the beasts, I will have you destroyed by fire unless you change. By now, the people are gathering their wood in their arms and stacking it at the stake. Polycarp responds, you threaten me with fire that burns for a time and is quickly quenched, for you do not know the fire which awaits the wicked in the judgment to come and in everlasting punishment. Why are you waiting? Come, do what you will. Angry Jews and Gentiles alike gathered the wood, pushed Polycarp upon it, began to tie him to the stake, and he made the request that they not tie him. Let me stand loose on the wood. As the flames were lit, he began to pray, O Lord God, Almighty Father of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have come to know you, I thank you for counting me worthy this day and hour of sharing the cup of Christ among the number of your martyrs. I bless you. I glorify you both now and for the ages to come. Amen. As the flames swept, the wind blew them away and seared him, but did not consume him. And since he continued to live, a soldier put an end to his misery with his saber. The old man slipped from time to eternity, standing and finally slumping on the fire. I'd like you to bow your heads and close your eyes. You and I have no way of knowing our future. We have no way of predicting. Surely Polycarp knew nothing of this in 80 or 90 or 100, AD 110 or 120. 86 years, and they burn him at the stake. That kind of faith is not grown hurriedly or spasmodically or indifferently. It is a deliberate giving over of one's life to the Lord Jesus Christ, day after day, month after month, year after year. While it doesn't build us into passive men and women, it stabilizes us, guards us from fear, protects us from worry. If you haven't such a faith in the Lord Jesus, what in the world are you waiting for? No need to put it off. This could be the beginning of a whole new way of life for you as you turn your life over to Christ, beginning today. Lord, it's almost impossible in a safe place, in a quiet place, in a comfortable place, even to imagine some of these scenes. Nevertheless, you have left them for us. And in our mind's eye, we can at least picture what it must be like, and even what it may be like. We pray that you will drive home parts of these things we have heard and learned today. Give us a deeper love for Christ, a willingness to stand regardless, and to be who we are before those who know little of the Savior, perhaps nothing. Help us as we work this out in our work and in our social gatherings, in our neighborhoods, at our kids' schools, in gatherings where your name isn't mentioned and known. May we know how to do that with boldness, out of respect for you. Thank you for the memories of people like this bishop, who to the end was faithful, surely the recipient of the crown of life. Now to him who is able to guard us from stumbling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.
For the past 3 days, Chuck Swindoll has been teaching from Revelation chapter 2. He titled this message, The Suffering Church Under Attack. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Well, we have a very special treat in store for you today. The final moments of today's program are devoted to those who have young children in the home, or those who have young grandchildren, or anyone working with students and kids. For more than 20 years, Insight for Living has reached out to families with a ministry called Paws and Tails. It might be the best-kept secret among parents and grandparents. Paws and Tails is an audio drama created for little ones in an imaginary town called Wildwood, and through fun stories and creative music, your children will learn valuable lessons about the love of God. As a wholesome audio drama, Paws and Tails is perfect for entertaining kids and for reinforcing Christian values, and it's a wonderful pre-bedtime tool as well. Recently, Chuck sat down with the creator of Paws and Tails, Dave Carl. We want to share a snippet from their conversation, and we'll follow that with a sample of what your kids are going to enjoy on Paws and Tails. Here's Chuck Swindoll and Dave Carl.
Our hope for all who dive into this wonderful world in Wildwood is that they will understand how much God loves them in any generation, the youngest all the way up to the oldest. And that is a new thought for many people who live in fear of God or in suspicion or maybe even worse, superstition. The hope is to help them know that He's there and He loves them, cares about them.
Well, as a children's pastor, I've never had a third grader ask me about the hypostatic union. Well, maybe one, but he was a different kid. The problem that most kids have is whatever movies they've watched or books they've read, God is pretty often the scariest thing in their life.
That's right.
Or something to reject entirely is untrue. And this is perhaps one of the most insidious plans of Satan, is to train our children to be afraid of a loving God who has done everything to bring us into His arms and to redeem us. Yeah. That's a terrible, dark strategy.
Yeah, and you get older, those fears intensify. Your imagination grows.
And as things go wrong in your life, you attribute that
to sure do.
A God who's angry,
right.
And yes, that can build, and you can become, the concrete can dry on that, and you will only go to God under those circumstances when you're in desperate need.
Yeah, and you go out of fear rather than knowing there's comfort and hope and grace. There's a new one.
Yeah.
But we want people to know that when they come to this wonderful series called Paws and Tails.
Look at the lake.
Whoa, turn around. You can see all the way to Wildwood.
Oh, look, a ship's leaving the bay.
The ocean looks like it just keeps going forever and ever.
I'm here, not late, present and accounted for, right on time and not at all late.
It's okay, Goose. We're still waiting for Stacy.
Oh, boo. How can she just keep us waiting here like this? It shows a complete lack of respect for other people's time.
You were late.
Well, I think Stacy's what we need to focus on here.
You okay?
Yeah.
We've got to get out of this storm.
But where? There's nothing but trees for miles.
Get close. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're in a bad spot here. We need your help.
It's him! It's the grizzly!
Stacy, get behind me!
When you're wrong, you're wrong.
when you're wrong, and we were wrong.
So you've got a tough choice, and there's nowhere to run, and you feel your heart a-pounding like a big bass drum. Well, before you're wound up tighter than a guitar string, you just say a little prayer, and then you do the right thing. Do the right thing, yeah, you know.
Well, having whet your appetite for Paws and Tails, let me explain how you can begin to listen. It's really easy to access any or all of the nearly 70 programs. Just go to pawsandtails.org. You can stream any or all of the audio files and information from that website. Again, it's pawsandtails.org. Tails, of course, is spelled T-A-L-E-S. Well, Paws and Tails is a ministry provided by Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living. So what are you waiting for? Introduce your family to the fun in Wildwood by going to pawsandtails.org. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us next time when Chuck Swindoll describes what he calls the church that compromised the truth on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Suffering Church Under Attack, was copyrighted in 2003, 2006, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.